It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
And now the 1-2 on the way. Swinging a high fly ball right center field, but it's playable. Mitchell, the right fielder, will make the catch. And the ball game is over. And Milwaukee comes from behind and beats the Cubs by a score of 3-2.
Everybody hurts.
That was heard today right here on 670 The Score, your home for Chicago Cubs baseball. I am Rami Makhlouf with you until 9 o'clock. Always a pleasure to be on these airwaves I grew up listening to, talking about the teams I grew up rooting for. And I am from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, excuse me. We're off to a great start. And yeah, everybody in Cubs fandom hurts right now. I was listening to Parkins and Spiegel on my way into the studio, and they were holding a Cubs funeral, which is pretty dark. That's pretty dark. Are we there yet? You know, it's funny. I was, and you can get in on the show, 312-644-6767. You can give me a call. You can shoot me a text. I will try and get in as many of you as we can. We'll talk. I'm really looking forward to talking with Herm Edwards, former NFL and college football coach, ESPN football analyst. He'll be here at 7. And Aaron Lemming, who covers the Bears for the Bear Report in Windy City Gridiron, he'll be here at 8. So lots of Bears talk in the back 2 hours of the show. Matthew Trueblood will be here to talk some Cubs at 6:25. But I'm here every few weeks on 670 The Score. They give me the privilege of being on these airwaves. And so I opened up my notes today, which I haven't touched since the last time I was here. And that was just a little bit before the All-Star break, maybe like a week, 10 days before the All-Star break. And one of the topics that I had that we talked about that night was, are we sure that the Cubs are sellers at the trade deadline? Because people were starting to kick that around pretty heavily at that time. And I was like, I'm not quite there yet. Well, if there was any doubt, Jed Hoyer put that doubt to rest with his comments earlier this week.
I think the next 7 games, you know, obviously it matter. You know, certainly we saw what can happen last year. So you sort of never firmly put your feet, a plant your feet. You know, you have to be able to be nimble. But I think where we are right now, I would say that, you know, moves only for 24. I think unless things change over the next week, I think we probably won't do a lot of moves that only help us, you know, for this year. If moves help us, you know, in 25 and beyond, I think we're still exceptionally well positioned. I think that's what our focus will be. But like just helping in 24, I think that probably won't be our focus unless things, you know, change dramatically.
Now, there's a lot of wiggle room in what Jed Hoyer said right there. And again, you can get in on the show at 312-644-6767. But where I'm at as a Cubs fan is at worst, they should be holding, standing pat. Not selling. Where are you at? 312-644-6767. He doesn't outright say that they're going to be selling, in at least in a big way. He says if there are deals that can help us in 2025, then we're willing to make those deals. But deals that are just going to help us in 2024 probably don't make a lot of sense right now. Now, first of all, before we get into what exactly he means by that and whether or not I agree with that line of thinking, I hate the timing of when he said that. I really, really do. Because he says there, you know, there's 60 games left and things can change here in the next 7 days before the trade deadline. But he said that right before, like if you were going to change anything about this season, and if you were going to change Jed Hoyer's mind, and if you need to, Tom Ricketts' mind about this season, it was really going to have to start in this series with the Brewers. And what kind of message does that send to those 25 guys that got to suit up and go out there and take on the first place team in the division when they're trying to save their season, when they're trying to make it so that you get them some help, or at least don't trade everybody off at the trade deadline, that you're saying, yeah, nah, we're probably good. We're probably not going to do anything that's going to help us in 2024. Why would you? And I know, like, the press conference was when the press conference was. That's when Jed Hoyer had his media availability. But why put that out there then? What good did that do? What good does it ever do, really, to show your hand in public? I never want a GM or a president of operations to show their hand in public. But what good did that do doing that right then at this, what could be, and probably not. Look, I'm not crazy. Okay, I see what's happening here. But what could be a pivotal moment in the season? That just rubbed me the wrong way from Jed Hoyer, the timing of that statement right there. But on top of that, if he's saying that they're going to sell, and I've heard names kicked around, and we'll get into some of those names here in just a second. If he's saying that they're going to be sellers and do things to help this team in 2025, I really don't like that idea. And I think maybe I'm wrong because I'm reading between the lines. He's not coming out and saying it explicitly. I don't know that Craig Counsell can really get down with that when you hear the way that he talks about the last 60 games of the season off of those comments by Jed Hoyer. Do we have that cut, Robbie? The 60 games to prove what they got
the
left?
The standings indicate that we're not a playoff team right now, and you can't ignore that. But we still have 60, 58 opportunities in front of us to change that. And that's how you approach it. But absolutely, we have not put ourselves in a spot where we can play well enough to put ourselves in a playoff conversation. Absolutely.
And again, the messages are mixed here. We'll get into the methodology and how wise it is in a second, but the messages are mixed here. Craig Counsell is saying nothing's over, to quote the great Rocky Balboa. He's saying nothing's over. We got 60 games to prove who we are. But the president of baseball operations, just a day before he said that to Parkins and Spiegel, Counsell that is, he joins those guys every week. He just stood up the day before and said, no, this season's probably over. And Craig Counsell, I really like these comments about where this team is at and where they're headed, and talking about you can't run away from what this team has been to this point.
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, you can't run away from that. I mean, we don't get to change any of that, so we are. I think the point of that is it doesn't mean the future is written. We get to write what happens next by how we play. So, you know, what's happened has happened, and we can't change it, so it is who we are. But we do have the future in front of us, and we have games in front of us, and we have opportunities in front of us.
So it sounds like Craig Counsell is saying, look, we can be better. This can be a better baseball team. And if that's the case, and man, I know I'm hanging on to a thread here. I know I'm hanging on to a thread. But there's 58 games left. Baseball season is so long, man. There is 58 games left. That's more than a third of your season still to go. And they're probably not catching the Brewers. Again, I'm not crazy. And again, I know I'm hanging on to a thread here, but they're 5 games out of the last wild card spot. And you look at the teams between them and St. Louis, who has that last wild card spot. First of all, I don't believe that much in St. Louis. I don't believe that much in San Diego, Arizona, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. There's no guarantee that any number of those teams doesn't fall flat on their face. Same can easily be said about the Chicago Cubs. I understand that. But I'm really watching closely. If this team is sellers at the trade deadline, and I don't think they should be. I think they should be holding and standing pat at worst. Let me know what you think. 312-644-6767. Shoot me a text or give me a call. But if they are going to sell, what exactly does that entail? Because some of the names that I hear being kicked around here tell me that while Jed Hoyer is saying that the focus will be 2025 and beyond, and he likes the position they put themselves in for 2025 and beyond? If that's the case, why am I hearing Jameson Taillon kicked around with a 3.10 ERA, a 1.16 whip in 16 starts, and a sub-3 ERA and a sub-1 whip in his last 7 starts? 6 of those, which of were quality starts. And he's only in the second year of a 4-year deal that is affordable. $18 million in 2025 and 2026. If you trade Jameson Taillon this year, are you getting somebody in return who's going to help you win baseball games more than Jameson Taillon is in 2025? Beyond that, I hear Hector Neris's name being kicked around. You got a team option for him for $9 million next year. Look, Hector Neris not getting the job done as the closer, but put him in a 7th or 8th inning role for a team that's trying to win in 2025, I think he can help you out. Same thing with Leiter. Same thing with Smiley. You don't have to completely tear that thing down. And when we talk about the position players, the everyday position players on this team, again, I'm not delusional. I understand what's gone on with this Cubs offense this year. And we saw it on full display in this series with the Brewers. They just haven't been good enough. They just simply don't score enough runs. And it comes back to, and I said this the last time I was on the Score and we were talking about whether or not we were sure the Cubs were sellers at the trade deadline. It's just a lot of underachieving, man. It's just a lot of underachieving from Cody Bellinger and Nico Horner and Dansby Swanson and Seiya Suzuki, guys that were supposed to be the core of this lineup. But that being said, are we punting on this? On this whole thing? On this whole core of guys? Because I've heard Nico Horner's name kicked around in trade rumors. I've heard Ian Happ's name kicked around in trade rumors. Less so Cody Bellinger since he broke his hand. Teams aren't necessarily jumping at the opportunity to trade for a guy with a broken hand and $50 million in player options for the next 2 years who has underperformed, especially when you talk about power numbers. Because I still think that if you get a legit power bat and put it in the middle of this group of guys, that this is a lineup that can win as soon as next year. So if you're trading those guys, I just need to know, if you're trading the Taillons of the world, the Haps, the Horners, the Bellingers, the Hector Narises of the world, are you really going to get guys, are you going to restock so quickly? Whether in those trades or free agency or other trades you make in the offseason, that you're going to bring guys back with those roster spots and that money that are going to help you win baseball games more than they are? Because I find that hard to believe. I really do. And on top of that, we're really early in this whole vision that Jed Hoyer and the Brain Trust apparently had in putting this thing together to be giving up on it. You're in year one of a 5-year, $40 million contract that you just gave to your manager. And if you're not going to restock, like I said, with guys that are going to help you win baseball games as much or more than whoever you ship out between now and the trade deadline, you're not just punting on year one of that contract, you're punting on potentially year one and year two of that contract. And if Jed Hoyer is questioning his vision to that degree, I'm questioning Jed Hoyer. Which I haven't really done to this point. I've kind of given him the benefit of the doubt. Again, there's a lot of wiggle room in what he's saying. Jed Hoyer very easily could have been saying, yeah, we might trade for a guy who's going to help us this year, but who's also under contract and can help us win in future years. There is, you can interpret it that way. You could read between the lines and take that out of it. And I hope that's what he's saying. But even if they don't do anything, and I would understand if they didn't do anything being 5 games out of the last wild card spot. And honestly, I don't even know how many games out from first place. That's not even on my radar right now. If you added nothing to this team I would understand. But if you start trading off pieces and guys that you thought were going to be a part of this and who were under contract to be a part of this for 2 to 3 years down the line, and you're trading them for more prospects and guys that are going to help you in 2026, you know, even if they're major league ready by 2025, you're going to go through growing pains. I was reading Bruce Levine's piece, I'm sorry, at 670score.com today, and he brings up a catcher that Boston has in AA right now. He's hitting 305. Kyle Teal, 22 years old, 861 OPS. Is Kyle Teal going to come up here and help you win baseball games in 2025? If he's not, I wish him all the best. But I have no interest in trading Jameson Taillon or anybody else for a guy who's not going to come up here and help us win baseball games in 2025. You want to punt on 2024 and say, lost season, snake bit, whatever you want to call it, cool, fine. But when you start talking about trading some of these guys, Jameson Taillon, Happ, Horner, Bellinger, you're talking about punting to some degree on next season as well. And that I can't really swallow. I say the Cubs should be holding, standing pat, at worst, and not sellers. What say you? 312-644-6767. I'm going to talk some Cubs with Matthew Trueblood of Northside Baseball in just a few minutes, but time to squeeze in a few of your calls before that, and I'll squeeze in a few more after if Cubs fans want to still talk about this. We'll start with Matt in Lowell. Matt, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, bud?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Good.
First of all, I'd trade Ian Happ if I could get something for him. I don't need a gold glove in left field. I want 40 or 50 homers in left. But the sneaky move I'm thinking of, and I haven't heard anybody say anything about it, Hoyer wants to play for 2024. Go ahead and trade Taillon. That's fine. If you can get something for him, you're not going anywhere in 2024. But what did you give the White Sox what they want? And go ahead and pick up that big power lefty they've got over there, Derek Crochet, and go ahead and put him on the shelf.
I don't hate the idea of getting in on Garrett Crochet. I did see, thanks for the call, Matt. Appreciate it. I saw, I believe it was Jim Bowden at The Athletic. He was, you know, he does his rumor articles and what moves would make sense to him. He did say that if Crochet isn't traded at the trade deadline this year, he could see the Cubs in a reloading mode in the offseason, making a move for him if the White Sox are willing to trade him in the same town. There's always some, I mean, they've done it a few times, but there's always a little bit of hesitation that the guy's going to go and, you know, have a Hall of Fame career right in your own city. That's a hard pill to swallow. But, yeah, I'd be great with getting Garrett. That's just the type of guy that I'm talking about when I say, if Jed Hoyer is saying we're going to get guys that can help us in 20, that have to be able to help us in 2025, that doesn't rule out them coming and helping the Cubs win in 2024. Garrett Crochet fits that description perfectly. And if you can work some kind of deal, they're going to want prospects, obviously. So you're going to have to give up a boatload of prospects to get him, from what I understand, for Garrett Crochet. But okay, yeah, you're adding another big arm to your rotation, and he's going to help you if you make some kind of run this year, and if not, or you could shut him down this year, like Matt suggested, with the injury issues that he's had in the past. He could help you win this year or not, but you'll have him for years to come. But when he says, sure, trade Jameson Taillon, you're not doing anything this year, fine. Fine, to the second part of that statement. You're not doing anything this year. If folks are ready to wave the white flag, if Parkins and Spiegel are going to hold the funeral, that's fine. I totally understand where you're coming from. And you're probably right. But you have Taillon under contract for 2025 and 26, and he doesn't look to be on the downside anytime soon. You're creating a hole in your rotation for the next 2 years, and you think you're going to find somebody to fill it that's going to do better for you than Jameson Taillon is? I don't think you are. Let's go to Hazelcrest and Wayne. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Wayne?
Not much. How's it going? I'm not a big Jed Hoyer fan, and I heard the press conference. But look, you know, he and Craig Counsell have different jobs. Counsell is a manager. He's involved in the day-to-day. When today, the president of the organization has to look year, 2 years, 3 years down the line. This core has not performed. Don't forget, they should have made the playoffs last year, but they didn't hit. Mm-hmm. The Swansons, the Haps, the Nico. Plus, this is an offensive league. You don't hit enough home runs. You end up like the Bulls, protecting the core who's never done anything, and go 10 years without making the playoffs. So at some point, you have to shake up the core. Happ is not, he's a Gold Glover, doesn't hit enough home runs. Suzuki can't play right field, doesn't hit enough home runs. Swanson doesn't hit enough home runs. What are you going to do? Why are you going to keep them and think that you're going to compete? Sometimes you have to blow it up. Now, I agree. I would keep Tyone because he's under contract for a couple of years. But you've got to get rid of somebody because this core has not performed. They should have won the division this year going away with that payroll. And they're in last place. Something's got to be done.
I hear you. And you can't just run it back. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You can't just run it back next year with exactly the same group of guys and hope for different results. Got a text here from the 773. So you're saying just bring back the same team next season and hope they do better? No, that's not what I'm saying. You need, and Craig Counsell has not been shy about the fact or to say, you need some power in the middle of this lineup. You do. And if you go out and get a big power bat in the middle of the season and they happen to be a left fielder, great. You have Ian Happ. You have Ian Happ to trade or to put him out there in left field since he plays a Gold Glove left field, and then you can, that guy can be a DH. It gives you options, or you could just trade him. But you're going to open up that hole right now with no guarantee or no idea of who's, yeah, you want somebody who's going to hit 40 home runs. Who is that? Tell me who that is. Because I don't know who that might be, who might be in free agency this year or on the trade block that's going to hit 40 home runs for you and play a solid left field. And I, even if I did come up with a name, I can't guarantee you they're going to be a Chicago Cub. No, I'm not saying you run back exactly the same squad. Changes have to be made. And maybe that's in left field. Maybe it's in right field. Maybe it's at third base. But I think that when you make those one or two changes, add one or two power bats, the rest of the guys around them, whoever that might be, whether it's Swanson they keep or Nico or whoever it might be, can be part of a winning baseball team, can be part of a team that can do what we all expected them to do this season. This from the 219. Dude, I'm not a big fan of yours, mostly because I don't know you well, but you're making a hell of a lot of sense. See, even the people who don't like me, I'm making a lot of sense. That's how you know you're doing a good job on these airwaves. I think the Cubs should hold, stand pat at worst, not be all out sellers, especially not trading guys with years left on their contract. More time for your calls at 640 at 312-644-6767. But the Cubs talk continues with Matthew Trueblood. He covers the Cubs for Northside Baseball, and he'll join me right after this.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think the next seven games, you know, obviously it matter. You know, certainly we saw what can happen last year. So you sort of never firmly put your feet, plant your feet. You know, you have to be able to be nimble. But I think where we are right now, I would say that, you know, moves only for 24. I think unless things change over the next week, I think we probably won't do a lot of moves that only help us, you know, for this year. If moves help us, you know, in 25 and beyond, I think we're still exceptionally well positioned. I think that's what our focus will be. But like just helping in 24, I think that probably won't be our focus unless things, you know, change dramatically.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me, and I am live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. And trade deadline coverage here on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com Switch. Joining me now on the Circus Sports Hotline, he covers the Cubs for Northside Baseball. He also covers the Brewers for Brewer Fanatics. So he had this this series covered from both sides. Pleasure to welcome in Matthew Trueblood. Matthew, how are you this afternoon, my man?
Doing great, Rami. How are you?
Good. You heard those comments, and I'm sure that wasn't the first time covering this team that you heard those comments from Jed Hoyer. What did you make of it? Because it was very, you know, front office speak, and it left wiggle room open for him to really go in any direction. Go, this, I told you guys that was the direction I was going to go in. Like, they could make moves for guys that are under contract for years to come who could also help them this year is one way to read what Jed Hoyer said. Also, you could hear it and go, oh, they're going to be sellers. And some guys might be on the move at the trade deadline. How did you interpret and read in between the lines of what Jed Hoyer said right there?
Yeah, I mean, if you've followed the Cubs for a long time, you've gotten kind of used to decoding Jed Hoyer.
Right.
It's not totally different than decoding Theo Epstein, but he's a little bit less direct than Theo was. This is pretty much Jed Hoyer speak for we're approaching the deadline as sellers. Now, what he actually said, you're right, it actually does leave open that possibility of acquiring guys who might change sort of the tenor, change the overall shape of this roster beyond 2024. And I think that's worthwhile and worth continuing to explore for them when they get those opportunities. But what he's saying too should have been obvious to people for 3 weeks by now. I'm a little surprised at how slowly folks came around to the idea that this team just was consistently playing way too poorly to be thinking like a true buyer going into the deadline. Of course they're not going to add rentals, just guys for the next couple of months. They're only going to add people with long-term team control or youth and depth and, you know, cost control to their organization. That's the way they need to be thinking right now, because this season is lost and you don't want to be back in the same spot for what would be the third year in a row and kind of the fourth out of five. Next summer, you want to be in a very different position by then.
I am hanging on to the very thin thread of hope that they're still somehow in the wild card race, but I can get down with the idea that you're not going to add any rentals for 2024. But same way, I want to, if possible, add guys that are under contractual control for years to come that can help the Cubs win. I'm really, really against trading guys who are under contractual control for years to come that could help the Cubs or somebody else win. I was saying before I brought you on, I hear names like Ian Happ and Nico Horner, and more so than anybody else here recently, Jameson Taillon in trade rumors. And if you're planning on trying to win in 2025, I don't understand those guys being on the move. Maybe they can't play as big a role for you as you had originally planned in this whole grand scheme of things, but those are still guys that can help you win baseball games in 2025 and beyond who you have under contractual control. Do you think any of those guys are on the move this year?
I think, you know, if you gave me a over under of 1.5 of those guys being traded either this summer or this coming off season, I'd take the under just if, you know, to bet that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it would be a bad idea to shake things up a little more though. I think, depending on what you can get for certain players and depending, too, on what Hoyer understands to be sort of the parameters of his spending capacity in the next winter and even going into next season. We don't know that, and so it's hard to pin down what the right approach is. But I will say, you know, you just listed a bunch of players who are talented, who are valuable in their own ways and in roles smaller probably than the ones they play on this team right now, as you pointed mm-hmm. out. They've also had these players now for a year and a half, going on 2 years. And other than a burst of about, you know, 6 weeks to 2 months late last summer, they haven't looked like anything like the kind of team that the Cubs should expect to be on a regular basis. So this build isn't working. You do have to think about, okay, is this mix of players not right? And can I get a bunch of value out of one of these guys? Not because they're the problem, per se, but because they might be someone that someone else will give me something good for, and I can use that to continue building, but build in a slightly different direction. Find out what didn't work and get it to work the next time. So again, next summer, we're talking about a team with a clear chance to win the division.
Talking with Matthew Trueblood of Northside Baseball here on 670 The Score. Rami Makhlouf with you on a Wednesday evening. Of course, when things go as wrong as they have for the Cubs this year, people start pointing fingers and passing around blame. Not within the organization. I haven't heard that. But a lot of Cubs fans going, this is what we paid $8 million a year for in our manager. How much of this do you think is on Craig Counsell?
Relatively little, which isn't to say none. I don't think, you know, you can't be paid $8 million a year for your job and not have some blame to take and some accountability for when things go wrong there. And I'm sure Counsell would say the same thing. But it's a tough needle he was asked to thread. He was brought in at the front end of the offseason, and then not a lot of new talent, certainly not a lot of high caliber new talent, was brought in to support him after that. So he was asked to take the pieces from a team last year that his own Milwaukee Brewers beat pretty handily and beat them with the same, you know, same ingredients, cook us a better recipe. That's pretty tough. And then when you go through adversity very early in a season, as this team did with a lot of injuries, and then when they started to slump in early May, I think as a new manager who's still building relationships in that clubhouse, you had spring training, but that's not always enough time to really become, you know, a unit. When you run into that kind of trouble early on in the first year under a new manager, I think it's very hard to be the guy who pulls that back onto the rails. I would still say the huge majority of the blame for this goes on Hoyer and Carter Hawkins and the others who have built this roster, and on the players, especially some key, highly paid players who have underachieved. But of course, you know, you can't totally exonerate the manager. If you could, then he wouldn't be worth $8 million.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, especially when you talk about the actual managing during games. I there are very few, and I heard Parkin saying this earlier here on The Score, there are very few moments I can point to and go, whoa, what was Craig Counsell think? Even when the bullpen was, you know, blowing a save every other night, he just didn't have a lot of options to go to throughout that stretch of guys that could get outs. But since the beginning of June, number one bullpen in Major League Baseball, and I think, and I don't know if you know, but you and I have similar backgrounds. I do work in Milwaukee on The Score's sister station, 1250 AM The Fan. So I've watched the Brewers pretty closely for a long time myself. And one of his strong suits really is managing bullpens and picking the right guys to get outs. And amazingly, when you give him guys who can get outs, he seems to know the right buttons to push in the sixth, seventh, and eighth innings when he needs to go to those guys.
Yeah, and I think he's even a pretty involved sort of details man. He's not just the big picture, step back and
yes,
let each coach run their own department kind of guy. He gets his hands dirty with things, and I think we've seen that as the season has gone along. There have been aspects of the team that have improved because Craig Counsell does have input and speak up when he sees something that he believes in. But he also didn't get to handpick this coaching staff and didn't have, just between them maybe not amassing enough depth over the offseason and then the injuries that hit them in April, you're right, there was just a long stretch there where there was no right answer for him. Offensively, mm-hmm. pitching staff-wise, there are things they could have done better, ways he probably could have prepared them slightly better or helped them navigate rough stretches better. But overall, he's done a lot of what they brought him in here to do, and I think if it weren't for the bitter taste in everyone's mouth just because this isn't panning out the way it was supposed to, it'd be a lot easier to see the material improvements that he has brought for certain players and over the course of the season.
Is there anything to, and if this is stupid, just say it's stupid, Matthew, all right? Because this is the type of stuff that sometimes talking heads think is important, but behind closed doors and in a clubhouse, it's not really all that important. There is a notion out there, and I'm going to be honest. I think I believe it somewhat, that the vibe check with this baseball team is not very good. There was the moment a few weeks ago where Justin Steele went storming into the dugout and threw his glove and told everybody to wake the bleep up. They don't seem to be energized about playing baseball for the Chicago Cubs on a day-in, day-out basis. And I think, you know, motivation and having your guys ready on a day-to-day basis is the manager's job. That might be one thing I could point to when it comes to Craig Counsell and the feeling around this Cubs team this year. Do you think there's anything to that?
I think there's definitely something to it. Now, how much is the question, right? And I will say they're not a team that I've gotten to be around and directly observe in the clubhouse, you know, up close that way, which you'd always like to do if you're going to try and make a firm proclamation either way on that. But I've written a couple of things about whether the mix is quite right in terms of talent, in terms of complementary skill sets, in terms of points in career, and in terms of personalities to get this team that comes to play every day and plays relentlessly, kind of plays the way the 2024 Milwaukee Brewers do. I wrote a couple of pieces along those lines, and I did hear from a lot of people who have been very close to that team, who have been around the game and in clubhouses for multiple decades, who said, yeah, no, it's not good. It's not right. They didn't get this right, this mix, this balance, without pointing a particular finger at a particular player or anything. It's just they don't seem to have that, well, to draw a comparison again with the Brewers, that team has a whole bunch of very hungry and very talented young guys, a couple of veterans who are equally hungry and just famously good leaders like Willy Adames, Christian Yelich, Rhys Hoskins. Now, you can say a lot of the same things about Dansby Swanson, Ian Happ, you know, mm-hmm. but there's a slightly different tenor, maybe a little more fire in those guys, or a little more the young players see them and see a lot of energy and a lot of urgency. And maybe that's missing from the Cubs. And then the third thing is just an overall unity of purpose that I'm not sure the Cubs have had. People, you know, and you, when you're kind of coming out of a rebuild, maybe people got in the habit over the last few years of we definitely want to win, but we also know there are going to be stretches and even whole seasons where we don't have a great chance to win. I got to look out for me a little bit. I got to make sure my career is going the way it's supposed to go. Maybe there's too much of that left in the clubhouse. Again, I can't say any of that for sure, but I was surprised how much I did hear that from people who have been closer to this team than I have, who have been close to a lot of teams over a lot of years. So that probably where there's smoke, there's some spark of fire.
Matthew, one last thing for you, and Matthew Trueblood of Northside Baseball joining me here on The Score. Also covers the Brewers for Brewer Fanatic. That's kind of the last thing I wanted to ask you about. Like I said, I've worked in Milwaukee a long time. I'm a big fan of Craig Counsell. I was a big fan of the hire when they made it. And it seems like since 2017, after the Cubs won the World Series, the Cubs' plans keep falling short of expectations, and the Brewers' plans keep exceeding expectations. And when they made the Craig Counsell hire, I was like, oh, sweet. We're getting the guy behind the magic that they're doing up there in Milwaukee. The magic plus the money, of course, the Cubs are going to win. And it hasn't worked out that way. In your opinion, and you just mentioned a few things when you talk about, you know, the hunger of these guys, some of the intangibles. But in your opinion, what are the Brewers doing from an organizational standpoint that the Cubs aren't doing that with a fraction of the payroll, they've been able to outperform this club on a pretty consistent basis for going on 7-8 years now?
Yeah, it is really impressive. How that team plays on the field is consistently impressive and a lot of fun to watch. But how they're built, even more so. It's creativity, it's flexibility, it's an urgency born of they never have money to spend, and they always know the clock is ticking toward the next crucial player hitting free agency. That motivates a lot of moves that not only Jed Hoyer, but Theo Epstein didn't show the initiative or the guts to make either. The Cubs, for the last, you know, like you said, basically since they won the World Series, a little bit of the push has gone out, maybe. It hasn't gone out in Milwaukee, and not just because they haven't won a World Series, but because they know that next star is always going out the door. And it's not, they don't get to decide, so they need to act. And they make proactive moves like trading Josh Hader when he still had a year and a half of team control. We know that partially backfired, but it also ultimately resulted in them getting William Contreras. They traded Corbin Burns rather than go through a walk year with him. But they got Joey Ortiz out of that, and he looks like an incredible player. He'd be the best player on the Chicago Cubs. Which is just, that says pretty much everything right there. They are beating the Cubs at scouting. They're beating them at player development. And then the crucial thing is when you do spend money, when you do roll the dice and take chances, you know, you're going to get some of those right. You're going to get some of those wrong. you've got to calculate and really believe and be a little more fearless, a little more willing to roll those dice, because it takes more rolls to get enough right numbers to end up with a really good team. The Brewers have done that. They've been more proactive, and that's why they keep staying ahead of the Cubs. They don't really have a choice, but also it's a better strategy than the one the Cubs have chosen.
That's Matthew Trueblood, covers the Cubs for Northside Baseball and the Brewers for Brewer Fanatic, and my guest for the last few minutes here on 670 The Score. Really appreciate the time and the insight, Matthew. Great stuff, man.
Thanks, Rami.
And he joins me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. If you want to get in on the Cubs talk, you can dial me up, 312-644-6767, or you can shoot a text that way. We're going to get into Bears talk and plenty of it in the back 2 hours of the show. Herm Edwards, former NFL, college head coach, ESPN analyst, he'll join me at 7 o'clock. But more of your calls on the Cubs right after this.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me. I'm with you till 9 o'clock. Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. He joins me at 7 o'clock. Been talking some Cubs with you here in the first hour of the show. 312-644-6767. A few texts that have come in from the 909. Maybe the magic is Pat Murphy. I like Pat Murphy, the manager of the Brewers. I do. He's a fun dude, and he's doing a hell of a job in managing that team. And they do have a bit of a different style than they had under Craig Counsell. They're a little bit more aggressive on the base paths. I know two-strike approach has been talked about a lot. Craig Counsell talked about it with the guys on the afternoon show yesterday when he joined them. Their two-strike approach, their two-out approach has been different and more successful. So, I mean, Pat Murphy's doing a good job. I don't think Craig Counsell is the problem, though, and I don't think Pat Murphy is the magic. I just think organizationally, and my guest who just joined me, Matthew Trueblood, in the last segment from Northside Baseball, he pointed to a lot of the things organizationally that they do very, very well in Milwaukee that the Cubs just haven't done a very good job of. Also, this text from the 773. Honestly, we shouldn't be wasting this much energy on the Cubs. All our focus needs to be on Alex Hall, because that truly is our last opportunity for sporting happiness in 2024. My brother basically said the same thing to me via text before I came out of the air. It's like, don't talk Cubs. Please, just focus on the Bears. Is that my brother texting into the show? I don't know.
Also, isn't that scary, though, to think that the Bears are the last sign of opportunity or like optimism here in the city?
That's terrifying, Robbie Triano. That is absolutely terrifying, because they haven't necessarily inspired confidence in me. A lot of people feeling good about them, though, and I'm not here to rain on the parade. And like I said, plenty of Bears talk in the 7 and 8 o'clock hours. Almost entirely Bears talk in the 7 and 8 o'clock hours. Before we get to that, though, and Herm Edwards, Charles is in St. Charles, and now he's on the Score. What's up, Chuck?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I believe the problem is with Craig Counsell and his decision making to pull these pitchers out too soon. I'm sure a lot of the guys out there would agree with me that these guys are pitching wonderful games, and all of a sudden he pulls them out, and then the results are the opposite of what we expect to get. Ben Johnson was pitching that no hitter when he pulled him out after seven innings. Just things like that just really irritate me, as being a diehard Cubs fan since 1969. And I just that and, you know, they're not hitting, of course. There's too many prima donnas on this team. That's the era that we're living in right now. And I just very, very upsetting. You know, maybe you have an opinion on what I just said.
No, I appreciate the call. I don't know, man. I don't see Craig Counsell messing things up too much for this Cubs team. And when you say they're all prima donnas, honestly, and we're going to talk about a guy who's been painted as a prima donna a little later in the show, little tease for you there. You'd probably know who I'm talking about. I don't know that they have a prima donna on this team. And quite frankly, they need a little personality on this baseball team. They do. And I think that matters. I know I'm being kind of a meatball right now, but I think they need somebody with some personality, some pizzazz, somebody who's going to play some loud music in the clubhouse, somebody who's going to, you know, pat guys on the butt and and clap and cheer and like create new celebrations in the clubhouse. Make it fun, man. Make it fun. And just to, one more time, because they played each other today, and they're the team that's atop the division right now, and the team that, with a fraction of the payroll, has been outperforming the Cubs for 7-8 years. One thing that they've done, and most of this up until this year was under Craig Counsell. One of the things that they've done better than the Cubs is have fun out there, man, and enjoy playing baseball. And that matters. Any job, if you're happy to go there, and you're having fun and it's not really work, you're going to perform better. This feels like work every day when the Cubs show up. I would like somebody who somebody might call a prima donna on this roster. Somebody who's going to lighten things up a little bit or make things a little louder. That'd be good. And I don't think Craig Counsell is against that or would stop a guy from doing that. Because like I said, the Brewers had plenty of fun when Craig Counsell was their manager and won a bunch of games too. All right, for all of you, including the texter and my brother, who are saying we shouldn't be wasting this time on the Cubs, get to some Bears talk. We're going to do that, and we're going to do it in a big way with Herm Edwards, former NFL and college football coach, ESPN NFL analyst. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, right after this on 670 The Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me. I'm with you till 9 o'clock. Herm Edwards. You play to win the game. He joins me at 7 o'clock. Been talking some Cubs with you here in the first hour of the show. 312-644-6767. A few texts that have come in from the 909. Maybe the magic is Pat Murphy. I like Pat Murphy, the manager of the Brewers. I do. He's a fun dude, and he's doing a hell of a job in managing that team. And they do have a bit of a different style than they had under Craig Counsell. They're a little bit more aggressive on the base paths. I know two-strike approach has been talked about a lot. Craig Counsell talked about it with the guys on the afternoon show yesterday when he joined them. Their two-strike approach, their two-out approach has been different and more successful. So, I mean, Pat Murphy's doing a good job. I don't think Craig Counsell is the problem, though, and I don't think Pat Murphy is the magic. I just think organizationally, and my guest who just joined me, Matthew Trueblood, in the last segment from Northside Baseball, he pointed to a lot of the things organizationally that they do very, very well in Milwaukee that the Cubs just haven't done a very good job of. Also, this text from the 773. Honestly, we shouldn't be wasting this much energy on the Cubs. All our focus needs to be on Alex Hall, because that truly is our last opportunity for sporting happiness in 2024. My brother basically said the same thing to me via text before I came out of the air. It's like, don't talk Cubs. Please, just focus on the Bears. Is that my brother texting into the show? I don't know.
Also, isn't that scary, though, to think that the Bears are the last sign of opportunity or optimism here in the city?
That's terrifying, Robbie Triano. That is absolutely terrifying, because they haven't necessarily inspired confidence in me. A lot of people feeling good about him, though, and I'm not here to rain on the parade. And like I said, plenty of Bears talk in the 7 and 8 o'clock hours. Almost entirely Bears talk in the 7 and 8 o'clock hours. Before we get to that, though, and Herm Edwards, Charles is in St. Charles, and now he's on the Score. What's up, Chuck?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I believe the problem is with Craig Counsell and his decision making to pull these pitchers out too soon. I'm sure a lot of guys out there will agree with me that these guys are pitching wonderful games, and all of a sudden he pulls them out, and then the results are the opposite of what we expect to get. Ben Johnson was pitching that no hitter when he pulled him out after seven innings. Just things like that it really irritate me as being a diehard Cub fan since 1969, and it just that and you know, they're not hitting, of course. There's too many prima donnas on this team. It's the era that we're living in right now. And I just very, very upsetting. You know, maybe you can give me an opinion on what I just said.
No, I appreciate the call. I don't know, man. I don't see Craig Counsell messing things up too much for this Cubs team. And when you say they're all prima donnas, honestly, and we're going to talk about a guy who's been painted as a prima donna a little later in the show, little tease for you there. You'd probably know who I'm talking about. I don't know that they have a prima donna on this team. And quite frankly, they need a little personality on this baseball team. They do. And I think that matters. I know I'm being kind of a meatball right now, but I think they need somebody with some personality, some pizzazz, somebody who's going to play some loud music in the clubhouse, somebody who's going to, you know, pat guys on the butt and clap and cheer and, like, create new celebrations in the clubhouse. Make it fun, man. Make it fun. And just one more time, because they played each other today, and they're the team that's atop the division right now, and the team that, with a fraction of the payroll, has been outperforming the Cubs for 7-8 years. One thing that they've done, and most of this up until this year was under Craig Counsell. One of the things that they've done better than the Cubs is have fun out there, man, and enjoy playing baseball. And that matters. Any job, if you're happy to go there and you're having fun and it's not really work, you're going to perform better. This feels like work every day when the Cubs show up. I would like somebody who somebody might call a prima donna on this roster. Somebody who's going to lighten things up a little bit or make things a little louder. That'd be good. And I don't think Craig Counsell is against that or would stop a guy from doing that. Because like I said, the Brewers had plenty of fun when Craig Counsell was their manager and won a bunch of games too. All right, for all of you, including the texter and my brother, who are saying we shouldn't be wasting this time on the Cubs, get to some Bears talk. We're going to do that, and we're going to do it in a big way with Herm Edwards, former NFL and college football coach, ESPN NFL analyst. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, right after this on 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.